Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, 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 what do we have here but another edition of The Hump Show? Oof. I'll just be honest. I am feeling it. I did a face plant right into the hump. Boom. And I'm not sure I've quite recovered. Tuesday's always my writing day. And so I have to spend, well, depending on how distracted I get and how much research I do for the column, spend a good 4 to 5 hours staring at my computer and writing a column before I come to work. And it's great. I like doing it. But sometimes the words flow more easily than others. And I'll just tell you, the words were not flowing on Tuesday afternoon. And then it dawned on me that because of the way football has played out these last two weekends, the way the schedule is structured with Saturday and Sunday games, that I haven't had a full day off since the Friday after Christmas. So, wah, 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 woe is me. I know football as work seems odd, but it is still work. I was telling my neighbor when I saw her this week, she said, have you been watching football, or were you watching football this weekend? And I said, of course, yes. And she said, oh, that sounds like fun. And I was like, yeah, but nobody invites me to their football watching party because I'm the chick who brings the notes and the Sharpies, as opposed to screaming and yelling and getting all excited and bringing snacks. I sit there and take notes. So I'm not super fun at a viewing party. Anyway, so yes, it's been a busy start to 2020, and I'm feeling the face plant into the hump. But this coming Saturday, no football. So I am inching my way toward this coming weekend. It's going to be great, except I finally have to take down my Christmas tree. It still smells so good. It's still got Christmas lights on it. I took all the ornaments off of it, but I really love Christmas lights. And so I'll be sad to see my tree depart. And it's kind of sad that it gets to sit out there on the curb until they pick it up and take it away. Goodbye, tree. Fare thee well. Let me count the ways that I loved you. Yeah, I'm in a weird mood. I'll just warn you now. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house a home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. My friends always tell me that I'm funnier when I'm in this goofy, weird mood. So I guess we'll see if that's good radio or not so much. Our hump show means that you can ask Amy anything. So that's a part of the show that we're carrying forward into the new year. In fact, it's our longest running feature. We've been doing this whole ask Amy anything thing. See what I mean? Ask Amy anything thing. This thing where you ask Amy anything. We've been doing it now for, well, this is year number 7 because it started even before we moved into our current weeknight time slot. So you want to send your questions to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page named after this here show. And producer Chris will pull the best questions. Actually, I shouldn't even call him that. He just pulls the questions he likes the best. I don't even know if they're the best questions. But you can send them to him, and we'll do that in the middle of the show. We've got more fallout and some anger boiling under the surface. Why do I say under the surface? Well, because teams are not allowed to talk about what's happening with the Astros. It's weird. It's a weird stipulation from the commissioner and the Major League Baseball front office. But there is definitely anger simmering, even if they're not talking about it, these other teams around the league. And as Alex Cora gets his pink slip from the Boston Red Sox and a preemptive strike, The question now becomes, will the Mets fire Carlos Beltran before he ever manages a game for them? A lot of you are also asking me, why aren't the players facing discipline the way that general managers and managers are? I'm going to ask these questions of our baseball insider, Scott Miller, when he joins us at the top of next hour from San Diego. It's obviously been a very busy day and really a two-day stretch here where anybody in Major League Baseball, anybody who works or covers the sport, is getting bombarded and trying to keep up with the news and get all the reaction. And so we're going to talk about the latest. The Red Sox make a move. And what's next? What's next? Should Beltran be allowed to manage? He was a player, after all, when this was taking place. Players are supposed to be exempt from any punishment. Again, we'll ask Scott why. But he's not a player anymore. So he's kind of in this weird space. Baseball definitely wants to get this taken care of before we get to spring training. You can tell there's a major sense of urgency. They do not want it to be casting a pall over the upcoming season. In football, Cleveland introduces a new head coach. My gosh, stop me if you've heard this before. It's becoming an annual thing. Do you know, it dawned on me as I was prepping for the show, Baker Mayfield, as much as he can be brash and bold and arrogant and all that stuff, and he rubbed some people the wrong way, he did not have a great season, let's just be honest. But I got to say the same thing in his defense that I said for Carmelo Anthony for years when he was with the Knicks. Melo had a revolving door of general managers, coaches, and teammates. In Baker Mayfield's case, Kevin Stefanski becomes his fourth head coach. He's only been in the league 2 years and he's had four head coaches. Not to mention multiple guys calling plays for him. Think about it. He got into the league with Hugh Jackson as his head coach. Jackson's fired halfway through his rookie year. Greg Williams becomes the boss man in Cleveland. Greg Williams is not retained. So then it's Freddie Kitchens. And after 1 year, Freddie Kitchens is done, and now it's Kevin Stefanski. So whether or not you believe Kevin Stefanski is the second coming and is about to be the greatest coach in Cleveland history, there's that possibility. It's the fourth head coach. For anyone who has played for the Cleveland Browns the last 2 years, that is insane. They're averaging two coaches a year. It's nutso. Anyway, Stefanski, I think, was impressive in his introductory press conference. Now, he didn't drop the, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter, or a whoopty hell or anything like that. He was a little more straight-laced than Freddie Kitchens. But he sounds as though he is prepared and ready for the challenge. We'll see, my friends. We will see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know if you are aware of this, but even as we talk about all these sporty headlines, it's National Pizza Week. I really need some pizza now. The more, this is what's going to happen. The more I talk about pizza, the more I'm going to desire pizza. Pizza trivia. We're going to do that tonight. I just tried a few of the stats. They're called pizza nerd alerts.
That's awesome.
Did you know you can have nerd alerts about pizza? Because it's National Pizza Week, and because I'm in this kind of a mood, we're going to talk about pizza. Nerd alert! You may not remember this, for those of you who are newer to the show, but I would say one of our most popular shows ever a few years ago, we talked about cheese. It was brilliant. It was one of my best ideas ever. I'm not kidding you. Thousands of people on social media and on the phones wanted to talk about cheese. Well,
cheese.
Exactly. See, everyone loves cheese. And I don't know anyone in my life who doesn't like pizza. Now, I know people who have very specific requirements for their pizza, but I don't know anyone who doesn't like pizza.
Cut the crap.
Yeah, cut the crap if you act like you don't like pizza because it's not healthy or something. Please make me roll my eyes. Everyone likes pizza. There's even gluten-free pizza. There's pizza with fake cheese, which I just non-dairy cheese. That's not even cheese. I don't know what it is, but it's not cheese. So because it's National Pizza Week, we've got pizza trivia. I think that should trend on Twitter myself. But also, I want to know, very simply, how do you like your pies? How do you take your pizza pies? The Italian way of talking about the pizza, the pies. I love pepperoni, but hear me out. Pepperoni was my favorite snack when I was a kid because my grandmother in the Youngstown, Ohio area used to let me have pepperoni as a snack. But I mean pepperoni in its natural form, pepperoni in still the roll. In fact, I just got some for Christmas for my mom, and it's all gone. I love pepperoni on crackers. I love pepperoni on bread and butter. That's how we used to eat it. Pepperoni sandwiches with bread and butter. Oh, so good. But I don't like pepperoni on pizza. Isn't that weird? It gets crunchy. I don't want crunchy pepperoni on my pizza. And then it has the grease that's pooled in it. I don't like that either. But how do you like your pies? I might tell you what I don't like on my pizza before I tell you what I do. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. That is our question, my friends. Nope, it's not about sports. However, sports and pizza go hand in hand, do they not? Yes. Yes, they do. In fact, the number one day for eating pizza on the entire annual calendar is what? Super Bowl Sunday. I actually prefer to be a little more original in my Super Bowl snacks if I go to a party. It's been a really long time, but pizza is the most popular food on Super Bowl Sunday. And so this seems like the perfect time. You got to get ready, right? If you're hosting a party, if you're going to a party, if you're taking out pizza, well, you got to be ready. So let's flesh it out. How do you like your pies? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I have this feeling that Chris is going to find a gigantic picture of a pizza. Or are you going with a GIF? A pizza GIF?
You'll see.
Oh, it's a surprise. We shall see together. It's our hump show. I'm in a weird mood. You've been forewarned. We're still going to do 4 hours of radio. All right, coming up next, the Red Sox decide, thanks but no thanks, Alex Cora. We're not waiting around for you. And there's a lot of anger simmering just under the surface, even though teams can't publicly talk about it. Thanks for joining us on The Hump Show. Thanks for riding or dying with me. I hope you don't die. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Today, I have made the decision to dismiss A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. We need to move forward with a clean slate, and the Astros will become stronger, a stronger organization because of this today. You can be confident that we will always do the right thing and will not have this happen again on my watch.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That was not even 48 hours ago. In fact, on live TV, the owner of the Houston Astros fired his general manager and his manager in response to a commissioner's report and investigation that uncovered a whole lot of evidence and witnesses that in 2017 and 18, the Astros were using technology to steal signs, and a lot of them. And in that commissioner's report that he issued on Monday, other than AJ Hinch, Jeff Luhnow, it was Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran, the only other two people named outside of Crane, who was not implicated. But when Rob Manfred wrote his 9-page memo, the only people he identified as being responsible for the sign-stealing system, the Triple S, were Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran. And I said on the show yesterday, there's no way the Red Sox wait out Cora, even if he only gets a year ban. So gets the same thing as Luhnow and Hinch. Gets banned for the 2020 season. Even if that's all Cora gets, which seems unlikely considering that Hinch and Luhnow were not directly responsible, according to the commissioner. But Cora was. Beltran was. Yeah, he won a World Series in his rookie year as a manager, but he's not that good because they didn't make the playoffs this past year. So he's one for one. But the idea that the Red Sox, an organization that has really high expectations year after year, it's one of those franchises that expects to make the playoffs and be a World Series contender. No way they're sitting around waiting for a manager who's suspended for a year or longer. And so it wasn't a surprise at all that on Tuesday, the Red Sox delivered a preemptive strike. Now, you can choose, if you like, to believe that it was a mutual parting of ways. I do not. It's not mutual. Cora doesn't want to leave the Red Sox. He definitely doesn't want to be banned from Major League Baseball for a year, but too bad, so sad. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I am wondering what else happens, just like you are, if this is where it ends, if there are more dominoes that will drop, and we'll ask baseball insider Scott Miller when he joins us just after the update, top of the hour. But in the case of the Red Sox, since they know this is coming, at the very least, a year-long suspension for Cora, they went ahead and issued a joint statement, which I thought was fascinating. How far are they going to go to dress this up as though Cora really does want to leave? And they went through their statement and talked about how he doesn't want to be a distraction and how this is really hard for the Red Sox and blah, 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 blah. But as one Red Sox fan pointed out to me on Twitter, he didn't apologize. He didn't apologize for the sign stealing that led to, or at least aided, the Astros in winning the 2017 World Series, or potentially aided the Red Sox in winning the following season. So even as you send me your favorite pizza toppings, hashtag National Pizza Week, if you want to weigh in, because I feel like this is a fairly interesting debate as well. Maybe Cora's not sorry. Maybe he didn't apologize because he's not sorry. Right now, by the way, there's a pizza commercial on one of the TVs in front of me. See what I mean? It's everywhere. Cora won a pair of World Series rings while he was orchestrating these elaborate plans to steal signs with technology. And to clarify, it's not the sign stealing that baseball is outlawed. It's using video monitors. It's using Apple Watches. It's using any type of technology to steal signs. Sign stealing is as old as the game itself. That's not the part that's against the rules. what's against the rules is using technology to aid your sign stealing. Okay, so back to Cora. Maybe he thinks it was worth it. Even if he never gets back into baseball again, he got 2 World Series rings. If you're Alex Cora, and you know that no one's taking those rings away, then maybe you're okay with this. Maybe he's not sorry he did it, and he wouldn't change it if he could. Sadly, feels like the Astros had a good enough team to win the World Series without stealing signs. And the Red Sox, too. But we'll never know now, will we? 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. Former and longtime Marlins president David Sampson on CBS Sports HQ about this Red Sox move.
Here's what you're doing if you're MLB. You don't want to rip the Band-Aid off hair by hair, and you don't want to take weeks or months in between announcing the punishments for the Red Sox and then having it come up again, wait for the Astros, I should say, and then waiting and then announcing what you're doing with the Red Sox. The key point here is that the Red Sox knew exactly what they had to do with Alex Cora, but they didn't discover it today. They didn't read the commissioner's report for the first time and then start their meeting. They knew exactly what was coming, and they knew exactly what they were going to do. And when you say it's a mutual parting of the ways, that is code. Remember, when I got fired by Jeter, it was announced as a mutual parting of the ways. Guess what? There was nothing mutual about it. I was simply fired. And that's what happened. So Alex understood that he was getting fired, but the Red Sox agreed to announce it as mutual.
They agreed. I don't know why. They're hoping to spare some of Cora's reputation. Maybe not quite so tarnished. Again, if you're Cora, maybe you do it the same way. If you had a chance to fix it, you don't, because it was worth it to you. I read a couple of really interesting columns on Tuesday while I was procrastinating writing my football column. This is what happens. At least I was productive in my procrastination. One of them was Jeff Passan's column on ESPN.com, in which he's talked to a lot of sources who have ties to owners as well as baseball front offices. Now, baseball is not allowing the other teams to comment. I don't know if you caught this, but baseball has a policy in place which prohibits other teams from commenting on discipline that's handed out by the commissioner. Right? So other teams are not supposed to be commenting on disciplined players. They're not supposed to be commenting on any type of ruling that baseball hands down unless it's their own franchise. And the commissioner made it very clear that nobody should be talking publicly about how the Astros got punished, which is why the Dodgers were so cryptic in their tweet. I don't know if you noticed this, but the Dodgers, who of course lost to the Astros in 7 games in 2017, put out a statement in a tweet that read this: all clubs have been asked by Major League Baseball not to comment on the punishment of the Houston Astros, as it's inappropriate to comment on discipline imposed on another club. The Dodgers have also been asked not to comment on any wrongdoing during the 2017 World Series and will have no further comment at this time. It's vague, and yet it says so much. It's a vague but loaded statement. So as Jeff Passan is talking to sources around Major League Baseball, of course they want to talk. They can't talk publicly, so they're talking through him. And they're ticked. They're angry. A lot of them wondering how the owner of the Astros, Jim Crane, got off scot-free, other than the $5 million fine. But he's a billionaire. And also, a lot of anger about the players who are seemingly paying no penalty whatsoever. I'm really interested in the whys behind that. And that'll be one of the questions I ask Scott Miller when he joins me from San Diego about a half hour from now. Another team president said to Jeff Passan, did you notice he never said sorry? So there's something that people are paying attention to. Jim Crane didn't apologize to the other teams that were affected, the other players affected by the sign stealing, nor did Alex Cora. Which again leads me to believe maybe they didn't say it because they don't feel it. Would they trade those World Series rings to have their records unblemished? I'm not in their shoes, but I'd bet not. If I were a betting gal, I'd bet a lot of the Astros and Red Sox, as well as their managers, wouldn't trade the championship rings to go back and undo what's already been done. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. Lots of you weighing in on Twitter. Haven't even opened up Facebook yet, but I'll get to it during the break here. When you have a second, I'd love it if you'd check out my latest weekly football column. We will talk some football on the show as well, but pizza trivia next. I mean, the boss isn't listening right now, so it's okay. Actually, I told the boss we were going to talk about pizza on the show, and he said, what? And then I left. I didn't stick around for the rest of the conversation.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Astros lead 5-1. Pitch on the way. Round ball right side into the shift to his left. Altuve has it in short right. Throws to first. And the Astros are 2017 World Series champions.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The final call of the 2017 season, Game 7. Of the World Series in Los Angeles against the Dodgers. Dodgers aren't allowed to comment. Other clubs not allowed to weigh in on the punishment the Astros have faced. But there have been individual players who have spoken out, including CeCe Sabathia. And CeCe Sabathia speaking on Inside the NFL, Showtime's Inside the NFL. So he was a guest. Very often the show has newsmakers along with NFL analysis, and he did not mince words. So baseball may not want people to be piling on from inside the sport itself, but CeCe Sabathia is officially retired, and he's looking back at the 2017 ALCS, so the step before the World Series, where the Yankees were 0-4, at Minute Maid Park, so they lost all their games in the Astros' home stadium, and that's exactly where the Astros were using their center field monitor to steal the signs. He said, it's weird, like it changes all the time. When I first heard it, I was upset, and then as investigations went on, I was like, well, we can't go back and play the games, but as more information started to come out, I'm like, we played a seven-game series in 2017, ALCS, and we lost really on kind of like one pitch. He says, as everything's been coming out, the more facts we get, it's getting frustrating to sit here and know that late in my career, I could have had a title, maybe 17 or maybe 18, but we got cheated out of a team kind of doing something that's not within the rules of the game. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's a bit of a variety of responses from fans on my social media. Some expecting or hoping that Major League Baseball will go farther. Others saying it's much ado about nothing because everybody steals signs. Let's talk to Edward, who's listening in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours.
Hello, how are you doing, Amy?
I'm good.
Hey, so I'm going to sit here and weigh in on the side as a fan of sports and not use the side of, hey, you know, my dad was one of the World Series, right? Because everybody's saying, congratulations, I'm glad you beat him because they're cheaters. Here's the thing. I understand that coaches, owners, GMs, players, they're not role models. But what does this set as a precedent for the younger, you know, boys and girls that want to play these sports? It shows that it's okay to cheat. Now, everybody wants the commissioner to strip them of trophies and strip them of their rings and blah, 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 right? And what I'm hearing is that it's going to be pretty hard to tell somebody to bring your ring back, right, because it's in their possession. But don't you think at some point we have to make a statement? We have to make an example of this. We cannot continue to allow teams to illegally, and that is the key word, illegally steal signs. Yes, sure. Like people on your social media said, players steal signs all the time, right? But they don't place a camera into the center field and zoom in if they have to steal a sign illegally with electronics. They may have a guy on second base that sees the pitch coming. That's legally stealing the sign because you're tipping your pitches. So I think people really take stealing signs and they're really twisting it and not looking at it the correct way. If you steal a sign by watches, which is they're saying the Red Sox did, right? Now they're investigating them. You cannot illegally use an electronic to get a sign from another team.
Okay. Yeah, that part we know. That's been established. Actually, the Red Sox were already punished for the Apple Watch thing. They're now under investigation for 2018. But, Edward, are you telling me then you don't believe that these punishments that A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow and probably Alex Cora, that them being banned from the game for at least a year and losing their jobs is enough of a punishment?
It is not. It is not. Because what it shows is that you're allowed to come back, even though that asterisk is next to that World Series you won, right? It shows that it's okay, and we'll give you a second chance. They don't deserve a second chance because they cheated to get what, like CeCe Sabathia said, other people should have.
But right now they don't have jobs. We don't know they're going to get a second chance. I mean, I get what you're saying, that it's possible that they could, but right now they don't have jobs. So we don't know for sure they're going to be rehired in Major League Baseball.
And that's true. But let me ask you this. If you had a child that was playing baseball and you found out that another coach cheated to win that World Series or championship, whatever, for their team, and your daughter or son came home upset because in that softball or baseball game, they lost it. And then at the end, you figured out the other team cheated to get that. How do you explain that to your kids? How do you explain to them that they lost a championship because another team illegally cheated?
Well, I feel like it's a great learning experience. I mean, number one, first of all, whether or not you win a championship when you are a kid, that's not really the main point of sports. Winning is not, at that level, winning is not the only reason why you play sports. In fact, it's not even the most important reason. So it's certainly a teaching experience. But I would say also you explain to your kids that a lot of people will do anything that it takes to be a winner, and that's not how we play the game. So I understand what you're saying. I do think that Major League Baseball hammering the Astros as well as probably the Red Sox coming up, that sends a message that it's not okay. But they're not going to strip rings. They can't go back and replay the World Series. And we don't know. Let's just say for the sake of argument, the Dodgers were also stealing signs and just haven't gotten caught. Or, you know, there are any of these other teams that the Astros beat along the way who are also stealing signs illegally and didn't get caught. I mean, let's not be so naive as to believe that these were the only two teams that were stealing signs over the last 3 years.
No, I'm not going to say that because somebody else also told me today that they kind of, I don't know if it's out there, but they kind of sort of heard that even, you know, maybe back in 2013, San Francisco was stealing. It's going to be a lot of teams coming out that's probably going to get investigated, whether they know about it being investigated or not, okay, because this is just it's coming up way too much. I'm going to be honest. I won't be surprised if they go in and try to investigate the Nationals. I won't because all the teams have seemed to be doing it.
Well, I mean, I don't know about that. The part that's illegal is the electronics and the technology, Edward, as you pointed out. So the commissioner didn't even outlaw it until they got the video replay monitors into the dugouts, which was just a few years ago, or dugouts. And they now have access to video replay because the managers have to be able to challenge or want to be able to challenge after they see a replay. So they can't go back and retroactively look at 13 and 14 and 15 and 16 and all that jazz because they really just changed the rule in 17. However, I understand what you're saying. I mean, it kind of feels like it doesn't do enough because they still get to keep their titles. I just don't know how you go back and what, give the Dodgers a World Series? I don't think you can do that either. So I feel like this is the best that they can possibly do in making the leadership pay. Thank you so much for your phone call, Edward. It's good to talk to you.
Yep, you too. You have a good one.
855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Again, top of the hour, Scott Miller from Bleacher Report and SiriusXM MLB Radio will join us from San Diego. And he's really connected and hooked in. And these are all difficult questions with no hard and fast answers. I mean, that's part of the problem is that there isn't one way to look at it, and everyone's going to have a different opinion. Obviously, it's the commissioner's opinion that counts the most, but we'll talk to Scott and we'll ask him. For me, it's why aren't the players paying for it? Why aren't the players having to face discipline when you consider that the report from the The report from the commissioner indicates that it was the players who were largely driving this in addition to Alex Cora. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood.
No.
Nobody.
I really am bleeding. you can also find us A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page. I'm not really sure why I'm bleeding, but I am. So I'm just going to keep talking. It's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. So National Pizza Week is the second week in January every year. And as I was reading about National Pizza Week, because what else would you do? You would eat pizza and you would read about National Pizza Week. In a recent poll, 98% of Americans say they like pizza. That's not a surprise. I don't know anyone who doesn't like pizza, even if we like pizza a variety of ways. Now, this surprised me a little. 43% claimed pizza is their favorite fast food. Not the part about the pizza, but the part about fast food. Is pizza a fast food? I don't feel like pizza is a fast food. In fact, I have to wait 20 to 30 minutes very often for my pizza, and I do want it hot out of the oven. That doesn't seem very fast to me, but maybe you consider it to be a fast food. I consider it to be a delicacy. No, I consider it to be a treat. After I train for a half marathon or have a really long day, maybe I've done a bunch of walking, 25,000 steps, something like that. Oh, yeah. I absolutely will consume 3 or 4 slices of pizza. So around the world, over 5 billion pizzas are sold each year. But the beauty of pizza is that we can all have it a different way. We don't have to like the same kind of pizza. So what I'm asking you on this show is, how do you take your pizza? How do you like your pies? So find us on Twitter or Facebook. And also, we'll get to that a little bit more later on. But Scott Miller's coming up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.